Welcome to Talking With Yourself, a podcast designed as a place to learn new things, talk about navigating the world, dealing with mental health, and just life in general. I'm your host, Sam Preston, and thank you so much for being here. Now, let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode. I am very excited. This is an episode that I've kind of been looking forward to for a little bit because I think it's such a cool thing. I would love to start off by introducing everybody to my guest, Sarah Claire.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. Oh my goodness.
I'm so glad to have you here. Can you tell the listeners just a bit about yourself to start off?
Yeah. So my name is Sarah Claire. I describe myself as an advocate. That's kind of like a fancy word and it sounds like, I don't know, but I'll explain. My kind of self-proclaimed job is just to advocate for people with body image issues, eating issues, eating disorders, anything like that. So I personally am in recovery. Within the last probably 6 months, I've been saying recovered, which is really fun, really exciting because that's kind of something I never thought that I would obtain. But I live in the very, very deep south, actually the little tail of Alabama, which is as far south in Alabama as you can get. So I live down here on the beach. But being this deep in the south, we don't have like mental health is kind of a newer aspect down here. It's not something that was recognized. Even I would say the COVID pandemic kind of brought out that down here. And so my point in saying that is eating disorders are very like hush hush, very not talked about. And the resources are essentially zero. I would say in the last 2 years, we've gotten a little bit more, but there's not much. So that's kind of why I took it on myself to become an advocate to bring that down here. Me personally, to have any treatment whatsoever, my closest practitioner was 3 hours away in Florida, and I went 7 hours away for treatment. So not much down here. So I kind of became an advocate and started my Instagram, my TikTok, all that kind of stuff. And it got really big for a little while, much farther back down in all of that now, but it doesn't bother me because the community work I'm doing has been so, so, so fulfilling and so exciting. And so I went to college and I started South Alabama Against Eating Disorders. And that is an organization that has gotten really big. We do a big event every year, a big walk against eating disorders. It's a huge thing. We have vendors, we have different therapists come out and speak, we have different professionals. It's super, super amazing, something I've dreamed up for years. And we've now done it 2 years in a row and we'll continue to do it, hopefully even after I graduate. And then, so I'm doing all kinds of stuff within the community. And always finding things to make myself busy with. So that's kind of my mission, my story as of right now.
That is crazy. First off, I want to say congrats on like the word change to recovered instead of recovering. Yes. It's such like a small thing, like yes. In terms of like, you're like, yeah, it's just changing like a couple letters at the end of a word, but you're like, no, it's a big thing. It's a big accomplishment.
For sure. It was definitely, because you hear a lot in the recovery space, well, you never truly recover. And like, I beg to differ with that because I do think like, just in the society we live in, and hopefully this will change in years to come, but I do think that like, everybody's always going to have the issues. Like body image comes up, negative body image comes up, negative food thoughts come up. Like, there's always going to – people I know with the healthiest relationship to food still might have those thoughts sometimes, you know? But I think the change is how you're reacting to it and how you're dealing with it and how you process it in your mind and the tools that you use to deal with that. And I truly think that, like, it went from – always caring about what my body looked like and how that food was going to affect my body to instead like – how's the food going to affect my body to make me feel good or make me happy or make me fuel me throughout this workout or fuel me throughout this pickleball tournament with my friends, you know, like stuff like that. So I think that's a big change and that's something really, really special.
Yeah. At some point it kind of becomes like, how can I fuel my body to actually do things for me?
Exactly.
Yeah. And like, I know people couldn't see, but when you said the sentence about like, you never truly recover, I just rolled my eyes. I was like, that's so like, it's absolutely possible. Cause you're right. It's all dependent on how you respond. Everybody's going to have some form of thought one time or another. Like nobody's going to go through life perfectly like happy thoughts all the time. And that goes for like anything, but it's all just kind of how you respond. And I think the change from in recovery to recovered, a lot revolves around your response to those thoughts and your action to those.
For sure.
Now you've been like, so you've been pretty, I mean, very obviously pretty active in the recovery community, which also I was going to say crazy. You had to drive 7 hours for treatment. That is insane. Like, oh my God. But another kind of cool thing you did that you never mentioned in your little about me spiel is your book.
Yes. So I was kind of waiting for that one to come up. Yes, I did recently write a children's book, and that has been so, so, so exciting. So I don't know. That was something I always wanted to do ever since I was very little. I always wanted to like write a book when I grew up. And last summer, some stuff kind of like came. That's a whole story. I feel like I should probably tell. It all turned out this year. It was a good long year of work to get it here, but it has been so fun. I've been going around reading to different schools and talking about it on my platforms. I compete in pageants in the Miss America opportunity. So just in like prelims and stuff as of right now. Hopefully one day Miss Alabama, that'd be so cool. But yes, for sure. But I like love using that platform to get it out even more and stuff like that. It's just been so, so, so fun, so fulfilling going to these schools and seeing the kids' reactions. I actually went back to one of the schools the other day to give something to someone, and one of the kids recognized me. They were like, "Hey, you're Miss Sarah Claire." They actually first said Miss Sophia, which is okay because they're little kids. And it was an S name. So I was like, close enough. Yeah. They're like, "You read the book to us." And I was like, I'm a celebrity. Like they remember me. This is crazy. But yeah, it's been so fun. And I really love that I just decided to like go forth with that. Like it was kind of just like a crazy idea I had on like a Thursday afternoon. And then was like, all right, let's do it. So
no, that is crazy. Like, it's such a big accomplishment, too. Yes. So the book is called Everybody, right?
Everybody.
So do you want to give us a little bit of a summary on what it's about?
So Everybody is really highlighting the differences in everybody. It's kind of a play on words, as in, like, everybody is in, like, a big group of people, but everybody split up into two words. And so it's really, like I said, like highlighting the differences in everyone. And it's kind of it says in like the front page of the book, like this is not only for the kids, but for the kids at heart too, like for the grownups who didn't have time to heal as kids. And I think when I was reading to the schools, a lot of the teachers sat in and they told me, they were like, I needed this as a kid. But for me, was just a way to tell kids like, whether your skin is a different color or you're tall or you're short or you don't really like the way your ears look or different things that like the kids at school make fun of your curly hair, you know, like everybody's different and that is so cool. And the big like theme of the book is my favorite page is it says, isn't it cool that you look like you? And that's my favorite thing, because I think it's so, so special that every person's different. When I read to the schools, I really like push in with the kids, like, what if we all had to dress the exact same, had the same color hair, had the same skin, wore the same height, had the same shoes, had the same backpack, same favorite color, like everything. What if we were all the same? And they're always like, that'd be so boring, or that'd be so confusing. Yeah. And I'm like, I agree. But we get into this, like, social media convinces us that we want to look like these celebrities, or we want to look like these other people, and we all want to like fit in with these trends. But I'm like, guys, that's so boring. Like, and so it's so cool. Like, isn't it cool that you get the opportunity to be your own special self? Isn't it cool that you look like you? I don't know. That's my favorite page in the book. And I really, the kids like that one too. Like, they're always like, wow. It also, there's a page that says being yourself is your own superpower, essentially. And they always love that one. They're like, wait, I'm a superhero? I have superpowers? And I'm like, yeah, like being yourself is a superpower. So those are two of my favorites. But that's kind of the premise of the book. Just like celebrating those differences, realizing that everybody is so, so special in their own way, no matter what those differences are. I had a little girl after I read the book and I was kind of talking to them about this stuff. She raised her hand. And she was like, my friend, I don't remember the little girl's name, but she's like, my friend so-and-so at school, she's my best friend in the whole world. And we speak English to each other at school. But when she goes home, she speaks Spanish to her family. And at first I thought that was strange, but now I realize it's really cool that she knows two languages. And I was like, that's exactly what this book is about.
Yeah.
You like see that difference, and that is so cool. Or like one little kid didn't have any hair. She was completely bald, and she was like, I'm different because I don't have hair. And I was like, yeah, you are. And that's so cool. Like, that's so, so cool. And all those different things, they started talking about, like, well, I have dark skin and my friend has light skin, and like talking about all these differences with them and be like, we're different, but that's okay. Like, we're still good friends because of it. Or even though, like, and I was like, I don't know. It was a really surreal moment for me, because I feel like when I was a kid, I remember certain girls in elementary school that I was like, I just want to look like them. Like, and it's really sad to me, because that was like kindergarten. And I remember like going home and be like, why don't I look like this girl? Like, I wish I was as pretty as this girl. And my mom was always just kind of like, don't say that. Like, you're pretty. Like, leave it alone. Like, don't talk about that. Don't say that. And I almost felt like I had to keep it secret to me that I like wanted to look like these people. But I never realized, like, until I got older, like, no, it is okay to be different, you know? So yeah, it's been a really cool experience, really fun.
Yeah, you're right in that, like, society pushes such a standard of this person's famous and look like this person and look at this person. And like, especially now with how relevant social media is, from a young age, they're doing the same thing that we did as children of looking at somebody in my class or somebody in the next class over and going, why don't I look like that? But now all these kids are getting access so young to internet and social media. And so they're doing it with not only just people in their class, but they're doing it with celebrities, which they're comparing themselves, who's like 4 or 5 years old, however young they are. Yeah. And they're comparing themselves to like a 40-year-old actress who has a full career and like 12 movies and endorsements under her belt. And you're like, you can't compare yourself to that. Yeah. But there's nobody exactly to sit and tell them like, hey, you're different from all these people. And that is 100% okay.
1,000%. And that was really like, that was kind of the big reason that I wrote this book. It kind of like, that was kind of how it came into fruition, was I'm a nanny, and it kind of like came out of those girls. And that was just a really, that was exactly what it was. It was like, hey, you don't have to compare yourself to other people, or not even comparing yourself, but comparing other people. I find a lot that kids aren't always the nicest. I work with kids and I tell them all the time, I'm like, guys, there's no reason to be mean to each other. Like, let's be so nice. And that is like, it's so much more fun when we make friends instead of calling out differences and things like that. So that was another big reason that I was like, okay, this is not only for you to not compare yourself, but don't compare others, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so much easier for some reason to be negative than it is to be nice. Yep. It's so much easier to like look at a person and be like, ha, like you don't look like this, or like this is different about you, haha, than to be like, I love that your hair is different than mine. Mm-hmm. Or I love that you're taller than I am and all these things. And I don't know why it's so much harder to be mean. So much harder to be nice. Yeah.
Because for me, I always tell people like it is so easy to be nice. Because for myself, I do believe that. But I've started to notice like for a lot of people, it is easier to be mean. And I think it's out of habit. I think when we create that, I recently had someone say to me, like, how do you defer a conversation so easily? And I was like, I just don't like the idea of people tearing each other down all the time. Like, I know me personally, I'm tearing myself down enough in my brain. I don't need anybody else to do it. And I don't need to do it to other people. So I find it easier for myself to be nice. It makes me happy. And so I wish just like everybody could do that.
I think you're kind of right, and it's out of habit. And I think when we get in such a mindset of being mean to ourselves, that it kind of becomes our outward habit to also tear others down. Yes,
for sure.
You're so right. It comes out of habit.
For sure.
Am I right to kind of assume that, like, I mean, a little bit of what we talked about, but also just kind of your history with mental health and eating disorders kind of inspired you to make this book as well?
Oh, 100%. So little quick summary of my history. I started struggling with anxiety from as early as I can remember. Obviously, I didn't know it was anxiety, but my mom will tell me things all the time. She'll be like, no, I remember you like having little freakouts when you were little, or different like, I don't want to call them tics, but behaviors you would do. And like she said that anytime that I became, it's funny because I did pageants when I was very little and loved being the center of attention. And then when I started going to school, it somehow changed from I'm up on stage singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and winning these pageants, but now I'm nervous because I'm at school and like everyone's looking at me. And so I would like, I used to wear my hair in a little half up, half down every day. And I would like, if I became the center of attention, I would rip my hair out of a ponytail and pull it in front of my face and just like look down. And my mom told me that I always used to do that. And she was like, it was anxiety. Or I used to get really bad stomach aches, but it wasn't like food. It wasn't anything like that. It was always in like certain moments. And they were like, I think it was anxiety and like all this kind of stuff. I used to get really nervous in crowds. And so that kind of, we always knew that I was a very anxious kid, and I was always very scared about like health, always worried I was going to get sick, always scared of germs, always scared of safety, very like everyone has to have on their seatbelt, everybody has to follow the rules, everybody like very, very nervous about that kind of stuff. Well, then I also grew up in a very like, and me and my mom have totally healed this now, so like she doesn't mind if I talk about this, but I grew up in a very food negative household, a very like almond mom crunchy vibe household, very diet culture. And it was, at the time it wasn't rough, it was what I knew, but later in life, in like late middle school, I learned that that had a big impact on me. And so I started struggling with food in probably like 12, 13, but I didn't realize I was struggling with it. You know, like I always thought that I was just, you were supposed to be scared to eat certain foods. I don't know. Like that was just what I grew up with. And then all of that comes together and I started just feeling so down and sad and tired all the time. And I even had a friend say to me, Sarah Claire, like she like had depression and was diagnosed. And she was like, Sarah Claire, do you think you're depressed? And I was like, no. I was like, I'm fine. Like, I'm not depressed. What? Like, that's crazy. I'm all good. And then, like, literally a month later, my mom was like, we're going to the doctor. Like, I think something's wrong. And what do you know? I was diagnosed with depression and an eating disorder. So it kind of all very quickly, I was like, oh, okay. Okay. Got it. Understand now. I didn't know what was going on. But my point in saying that is, like, from a very young age, I was really concerned with what my body looked like, really concerned with my stomach or my arms or my shoulders always really bothered me, the way my shoulders looked, which is so weird for, like, a fourth grader to be concerned how their shoulders look. Or I was a ballet dancer, and my whole life ballet dance, except when I had to take time off for treatment. But I would stand in that mirror, and I was in the more, like, advanced classes with the older girls. And so they were always talking about their bodies because they're in eighth grade, freshman year, that kind of stuff. But I would stand in the mirror as a sixth grader and be, like, looking at my body and, like, all that kind of stuff. And I got to the point where I would wear a t-shirt over my leotard every day. My dance teacher hated that. She was always like, I don't want y'all to wear t-shirts. Like, why do y'all do that? But I'd, like, even though I was a people pleaser, didn't care that she said that, because I was like, I can't do it. Like, I just can't wear this leotard and look in the mirror all day. So that was part of it. It was a big thing, was like, I don't want kids to feel this way. Like, I don't want them to be scared of their own bodies. I don't want them to be scared of their differences. I don't want them to be scared of the way they look. Because that's honestly, like, I've never actually put those words together until right this second, but I think I was scared of how I looked. Like, I didn't want to be different. I wanted to fit in. I think that was another bit of the anxiety piece. Like, I didn't want anything to be out of the ordinary. I would later also, within this last year and a half, be diagnosed with OCD, which also, like, goes in with all of that, and brought so much to fruition in the end. I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. Like, there's so much in my life that I felt like I was just going crazy in my brain, but that makes so much sense. And I think that was a big piece of it. It was like, I was so scared of being out of the box. I was so scared of being slightly different from all my friends. So that was a big piece in the book too, was I don't want little kids to be worried about their tummies or their hair being too frizzy or their, like, random things like that, you know?
Yeah, I totally get what you mean. It's like, you're so young, you should be worried about things like, I don't know, your art assignment, or like, a holiday is coming up and I should make something for my guardian or my family or something.
There was, like, a time in my life where my biggest concern was what American Girl doll I was bringing to the grocery store with mm-hmm. my mom. Like, let's go back to that.
Right? I know. I'm like, as a kid, I don't want to be thinking about, like, my hair should be longer, or, you know, like, I should be taller, or my nails should, like, all these, like, little random things. And it's like, no, I want to go back to the time where I'm in, like, Costco with my mom, and I'm like, I've got my fake little cell phone with me, and my biggest yes. worry is that, like, my friends are calling me back, yes. you know?
For sure.
And all of a sudden, I have this, like, as a kid, I don't know why I used to do this, but I used to love to pretend to have homework as a kid when I was in, like, grade one, grade two type of thing, when they don't really give you.
Just unlock the memory for me. I did that too.
Right? I'm, like, sitting at, like, my family's computer being like, I have to write this paper on, like, dog.
I have some assignments to do. I have to study yeah. for this exam.
I want to go back to that.
Yes, for real. Like, now I'm in college and have to study and have to do yeah. homework. And I'm like,
you have to write this paper.
Yeah.
But I think, like, that should be a kid's life, is, you know, making up your own little fake worries that are just kind of for, like, play and for fun, or going outside and the only thing you're worried about is, you know, getting dirty and having fun. Mm-hmm. And I've been seeing this saying a lot lately, that we were not meant to see ourselves. If you, like, genuinely, and like, I don't know how people really describe it. If you look at, if you look at, like, in terms of evolution, mirrors are not a natural yeah. occurring thing.
Yeah, no, I think I recently saw that too on a TikTok or something. And I never had thought about it like that, but that is so true. Like, we weren't like seeing ourselves, especially seeing ourselves in the way that we see ourselves today.
Yes.
Like if you look at older cultures and stuff, beauty was much less of like a, like it was vanity, but in a totally different way. I think it did, like, differences were more appreciated and the standard of beauty was so different. Like, I was talking to my best friend the other day. We were talking about beauty standards. And I was like, if you look at, like, Greek or even, like Egyptian history or anything like that, like, the bodies were bigger and curves were celebrated and, like, more natural skin was like so all of that was just so celebrated, and now we're plopping back and forth between these beauty standards once a week. I feel like it changes.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I wish it was just celebrated as it is, you know.
Mm-hmm. And to your point of like it changing every, you're right, every week there's some new trend, some new beauty standard. And for somebody who is not in the best headspace and is trying to keep up with these beauty standards, it's not sustainable to begin with, but it's, you're looking at this one and maybe it's 1 week short hair. And I don't know why I keep going back to hair, but we're going to use hair, like short hair and bob cuts are the perfect look. You know, it's the beauty standard. It's what everybody's doing. And then the next week you're looking at it and all of a sudden, you know, hair down to like your knees is all of a sudden the beauty standards. Like, how are you keeping up with that? And so on top of already not being in an okay headspace, you're burning yourself out trying to keep up with all these unrealistic beauty standards, which realistically, a lot of the time, depending, you know, the group you're in or, you know, the side of TikTok you're on or something like that, doesn't even really pertain to like your ethnicity or your religion, and you're taking what's special about you and what makes you you and you're changing it to try and be something that's not even close to who you are.
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking, this is kind of off topic, but kind of still fits in. I've been thinking a lot lately about trends and how much I really just don't like them. I think that trends are really, really toxic. Like even, I've been really into like combating like my need for overconsumption and like been trying to be a lot more like ethical about my shopping and like thrifting and reusing things and stuff like that. But I think that trends are a big issue with that because it's like you said, like today the like beachy vibe might be like the trend, but then tomorrow we're all going to dress like, I don't know, I'm in the South. We're all going to dress like cowgirls tomorrow because it's all going to change. And then everybody's going to throw out their whole closet to get this new one. And then next week, we're going to throw out our whole closet to get a new one. And I'm like, that is part of the reason. Like, I don't know. I feel like all of that comes together. It's causing people to have identity crisis. It's the same thing with bodies. Like, I will say all day long, like until I can't breathe, that bodies are not a trend. We are not about to say like the trend right now is to have a big butt and then tomorrow it's to have a small butt, because you can't change your body like that. It's not healthy. I mean, that's how a lot of us got to where we are having eating issues, is trying to change our body. Like, I think bodies are not trends, and that all goes back together with like, we don't all need to look the same. We don't all need to follow these trends to fit in with this standard that who made up? Some random person on social media, you know?
Yeah. Like, who even decides trends? And exactly. Also, who gave them authority to decide that this is
what who gave them that power?
Exactly. And I wish I had somebody when I was younger to tell me all of this, to be like, hey, realistically sit down and think, who is making this trend? Is it just some random person 8 countries away who doesn't even like have, like, I don't know. They have no qualifications.
Someone who is a billionaire and has the assets to make this happen, you know, like,
right? And all they're doing is
a struggling 20-year-old college student who is just trying to pay her rent, like,
yeah,
you know, like,
and so, they're profiting off of you spiraling.
Yep.
Which I think as a kid would have given me some sense of spite.
Yeah.
When I learned like there's some billionaire out there who's essentially thinking, hey, I'm going to target these young vulnerable people, or just these vulnerable people, and try to get them to change themselves so that I can get their money. And I'd be yep. like, actually, screw yep. you. Like, go bankrupt.
Yeah. No, 1,000%. That's like, I've been saying that a lot. 1,000%. But, you know, I agree. Like, I think that that's a big thing. And it's not really talked about enough, like that aspect of it.
No, which is why I love what you're doing with the book, because it's low-key just being like, hey, you're you.
Yeah.
It's not low-key. It's high-key being like, you're you and that's okay. And low-key in my brain, I'm like, I'm me. I don't have to change, which means this random person who I didn't even know existed, who's trying to tell me to change, like, go bankrupt. Don't yeah. get my time. Don't get my money.
And that's exactly how like the original idea for the book came about, was like that, you know, which that's a really sweet story. And I can share that if you would be interested.
Please, please do.
Yes. So I mentioned before that I'm a nanny, and I nanny two girls, and they are 13 and 7, and they're my whole life. I say like I nanny them, but they're like my little sisters who I happen to take care of in the summer. Like I just love them so much. Well, last summer, my family has a pool membership, and everybody's totally okay with me talking about this because I talked to all of them about this, but I have a pool membership, and or my family does, and I never go, but a lot of our family friends are at this pool too. So I took the girls that I nanny just one day last summer just to like let them hang out with some of my family friends. So one of my mom's best friend's daughter, her name is Maisie. She has achondroplasia. And if you're not familiar with what that is, essentially she's a little person. But Maisie is a swimmer, a competitive swimmer. She is the coolest person you will ever meet in your entire life. She is so fast. She's on her track to go to the Paralympics. She is just one of my favorite people, sweetest girl. She's 12 and she's really, really cool. Well, the little girl that I nanny, she, the younger one, we got in the car one day after that. And she said to me, she was like, Miss Sarah Claire, I have a question. And I immediately knew where this was going. And I was like, yes. And she said, she was like, so your friend Maisie. And I was like, yeah. And I just kind of, I did not push whatsoever. I let her ask her question. And she said, well, I could tell she was thinking about how she was about to word what she said. And she was like, is there something like different about her? Like she's smaller. And so I explained to her, I said, first of all, thank you for asking me instead of asking her. Second of all, I was like, I explained that she has achondroplasia. She was born with it. I asked her, I was like, do you know what a disability is? And kind of explained to her that some people just are born with things, or things happen and they have these things that come into their life. And it's called a disability, but it doesn't always mean that they're a disabled person. I was like, Maisie is just smaller, and that's just how she was made. She's different than us maybe, but she's the coolest person you'll ever meet. And she said, well, that's for sure. She was the fastest swimmer at the pool. And I said, I know she was. She said, and the little girl I nanny said, she may be small, but that doesn't stop her at all. So in that moment, I go, you're so right. I was like, and that is so like, I was like, it was that conversation that I was like, I need to do something with this. Like, I don't know. I really want to turn this into something. And I wrote, when I was in fourth grade, I used to write books during, like, we would do morning journal time every day and we would have like a prompt, but I would write full like 8-page stories. Yeah. And my teacher was obsessed with it. And so then she would let me read them to the class. And she always was like, you, when you grow up, you need to write a book. And I always wanted to. During quarantine, like COVID, I wrote like a chapter book, like a older, like a middle school novel type of vibe. It was not good enough to ever publish, but I thought I ate with it. But like stuff like that, like I always have been writing. I love writing. Creative writing is my favorite thing. Math, science, not my vibe, but like give me a writing assignment and I got it. But so I was like, okay, I'm gonna do something with this. So I started writing this book. And one thing I was adamant about was that there would be a page in the book that had Maisie on it. And the words from that book were, I have a friend. She's not very small, but I promise you that doesn't stop her at all. And it's the illustration is Maisie standing up on a podium holding her gold medal. And I'm going to come back to that in a second because that's another thing I want to talk about. But I worked on this book for so long, and that's how it came to be, was that conversation with the little girl that I nanny in my car. And I just like, it was such a special moment for me. It felt like a very like meant to happen moment. And I don't know, it was really cool. And so after that, I am not an artist whatsoever. So I like made some little sketches and stuff of what I wanted each page to look like, but I knew I was like, I'm going to have to get somebody's help to illustrate this. And I looked into like hiring like some random freelance person to do it, but it was so like, I don't know. I just knew that that wasn't the way I wanted to go. Like it was really expensive, first of all, but second of all, I was just like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it would be so much more special if I had a friend. Well, I started thinking about in my sorority, and I had heard that one of our girls did, what's it called? Not virtual writing. Like, she does art, like digital art. That's the word.
I was going to say digital.
One of the girls in my sorority does digital art. And so I reached out to her and I was like, hey, crazy question. I was like, so, and I explained that whole story I just told you. And I was like, so I wrote this book and I have all these illustration ideas, but I can't bring it to life. I was like, do you want a partner? I was like, and this would not be like Sarah Claire's book that you did. I was like, this is our thing. And she was like, Sarah Claire, yes, like I would love to do this. She's very like, I love her to death. She's awesome, but she's very like, she doesn't like being in the spotlight. So I have been doing a lot of the media for it, but she's super awesome. Her name is Ashley. She's the coolest girl. She's an artist. Love her to death. But so she illustrated it and we brought it to life. We went the self-publishing route, which was long and hard, but we did it. And now it's just kind of been, we have not made zero profit off of it because this is more of like a mission statement. It's much less of like, this is something I want to do for money. It was not what I cared about at all. This was, I want to get this out into kids' homes and get this to the schools and get this to all that kind of stuff. So it's been a really, really fun opportunity. I kept it a secret from Maisie. I asked her mom before we published it if that would be okay. And it was okay if Maisie was in it. And her mom was like, yes. And so when I waited until I got the printed copy and I FaceTimed Maisie and I was like, hey, can I talk to you? And she was like, why is Sarah Claire FaceTiming me? Like, okay. And I showed her and she was so excited. She tells everybody that she was in a book. They bought like 8 copies for their house and all her brothers and sisters love it. And I've been keeping her updated. And so I just love them. It's been a super, super cool opportunity to just do that. And I told the girls I nanny that they inspired it. And yeah, it's just been really fun. It's been a great, great endeavor to go on.
I love that it's so deeply rooted in your own life too. And it wasn't just a book that you were like, I think people could use this message. You were like, no, I'm going to put a whole piece of myself,
yeah,
and of the people that I love into this book as well.
Yeah. I just really, I don't know. It's been really cool. And it's only pushed me to do even more. I don't even know if I mentioned this, but aside from South Alabama Against Eating Disorders, the campus organization, I run my own organization. So Growth is the name of my Instagram account, like Growth Sarah Claire. But the word Growth is the name of my personal initiative organization. And it's currently, I'm trying to get it registered as a nonprofit right now. And that's just a long process, but it's getting there. But Growth stands for Grow, Recover, Overcome, Win, Teach, and Heal. And so I personally think that those are like the most important things to recovery and advocacy for mental health and eating disorders. I think that you have to grow. Recovery is also a big thing, obviously. Overcoming not just your eating issues and stuff, just overcoming like diet culture or the media or all that stuff. When the small wins in every day teach, that's my biggest thing, is like you have to teach others. Like you can't take this knowledge that you learn for yourself and just keep it to yourself. Like I want to go out and tell others. And then the ending and the biggest thing about the heal being at the end is like that is the final stage. Like you heal and you heal your inner child and you heal your, for your future self, and you heal. Like I heal, I think all the time, I'm healing for my future kids and I'm healing for my future clients because I'm going to be a psychologist. And I just, I heal for, if I do hopefully get the chance to go to the Miss Alabama stage, like healing for those people who are listening or healing for the future of my university, you know, like that is such a big piece right at the end, you know? And so with that, I have that organization, and that has just been, I don't know. I think that I look back on being in treatment or being hospitalized or being like all that kind of stuff, and I just think about, I mean, I laid in bed and I would like cry in the night and be like, what is all this for? Like, there's no way that this is worth it. My health was so bad. I was being told by doctors every day that there was a lot of stuff going on, and I was just, I was away from 7 hours from my family. It was during, it was right after COVID. So I didn't get to see them the whole time I was there. They didn't get to come visit. My dog was at home, and that was honestly the hardest part for me, was like not seeing my dog. And I was just like, what is all this for? Like everybody keeps telling, like I'm a Christian and I'm really deep rooted in my faith, but everybody kept telling me like, God has a plan. God has a plan. God has a plan. And I was like, there is no way. Like, there's no way that this is part of the plan. I just don't get it. And everybody keep telling me, like, it's going to make sense one day. And I was like, no, it's not. Like, that's not, there's not a world that this is going to make sense. And now I'm like, oh.
It makes sense.
Even like, I think that now, I thought that a year ago, what am I going to think in 10 years? I'm going to be like, wow, that really made sense. You know, like there's so many things I have coming, even just this summer, like there's like 5 or 6 things coming up this summer that I'm so excited about with my organization. And I just like, I know that that fulfillment is just going to keep coming. And I use the word fulfillment, but I don't necessarily mean that for me. I mean the fulfillment in helping others, like fulfilling the idea I have of helping others. And if I can help one person, I'm good to go, you know?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like there's so, I feel like when you're in the middle of it, you don't realize how big this part of your life is or how big it's going to feel when you look back on it. And you're right. Like, what are you going to think in 10 years? What are you going to have accomplished in 10 years? And that's something you don't know until it happens.
Exactly.
And it's that cliche thing of being like, no, it's all going to work out. And don't stress, you're going to be exactly where you're supposed to be and where you need to be. And when you're in that, you're like, no, that's stupid. How am I supposed to, like, why am I here? Why is this where I'm supposed to be?
Yeah.
And then you look back on it, especially things like going through mental health, and it sucks and it's not fun and I never wish it on anybody. But when I look back on it and what I went through, I'm like, yeah, it sucked, but it made me who I am. And it was a very pivotal point in my life that I would be nowhere near where I am today without it.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Even like, so I have, one of the things I'm excited about this summer is I'm doing this, it's not necessarily a camp, but it's like a day camp. And it's called Empowered, and it's for girls in middle school or going into middle school that, to just come, and we're going to talk about a different topic each day. Like one day it's going to be about, self-confidence. One day we're going to talk about body image. One day we're going to talk about like dealing with drama and like mean girls at school or just mean people. And it's just to, cause I feel like middle school is such a pivotal time in, I mean, I feel like everybody I can talk to about who struggled with mental health, we can all tie it back to middle school in some way, you know? And so I just, that was something that sat really heavy on my heart for a long time, was just talking to these, getting together with these girls, teaching them about like mindfulness and teaching them about affirmations. And not only that, but each day is going to, they're going to do community service. So like me and the other people who are leading this little camp are going to help them, but then they're going to learn how to help people next. And it's going to like pass on. And that's just something that I've thought about for years, but like, I never thought I had like a place to do that, like an authority to do that. But it kind of hit me where I was like, why not? Like if I think, and this may happen and never happen again, it may be a flop, but if I don't try, what's the point? And that's kind of another thing. I think when you come from living such, like, I hate to use these words, but living such a miserable life for so long, like living with an eating disorder and living with depression is just miserable. Yeah. You cannot tell me that anybody's happy living in that, because you cannot be. And I thought I was. I would tell you like, oh, I'm good. But now I'm living without it. And I'm like, no, I wasn't good. Like I live so much happier now. And I laugh actual laughs. It's not like the glazed over masked laugh. It's real life that I'm living. Like I can do all these things. I can run. I can jump. I can like, I'm going horseback riding next week. That's something that I loved to do when I was younger and lost. I'm back in ballet. I had to take 2.5, almost 3 years off of dancing completely and thought that I would never go back, but then decided as an adult that I would go back and do that again. And like, there's no way that you can live happily. And like, now I've realized like, okay, like, I have to take advantage of this life that I'm able to live now, because I never want to go back to that. I never want to live in that again. And that's what I preach to people. I have a lot of people, especially on campus. I'm kind of, it's a little bit embarrassing because I am known as the eating disorder girl on campus. Not in the sense of like, I have an eating disorder, but in the sense of like,
yeah,
I advocate. But I mean, I've been at multiple, I was at a party one time and a girl walked up to me and we were at a party, so you can put two and two together. And she just like, you're the eating disorder girl. I've been meaning to talk to you. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
I'm like, I don't go to like a small school. Like this is like we're a pretty big school. And so I was like, yeah, girl, let's talk. Like, you know, let's do that. And people stop me all the time and be like, oh my gosh, you're that girl. And I'm like, yeah,
I am.
But anyways, my point in saying that is I'm okay with it, because I get to help other people and I get to tell people like, hey, there's a life outside of that. Like I'm in a sorority. I'm doing all kinds of crazy stuff now. Like I'm in pageants. Never thought that would happen. That was something because like I said, I did them when I was younger, wanted to go back my whole life. I remember being in high school and be like, oh, I wish I could go back to pageants. Like I just want to do that, but I don't have the confidence for that. I'll never have the confidence for that. And then two of my sorority sisters were like, hey, I think you should do it. And I was like, you know what? I'll do it. And I'm completely addicted to it now. It's all I think about. I love it so, so, so much. I've made so many great friends through it. And it's just like I said, like you can think you're happy living in that, but you never truly will be. And I think about things now, like I almost laugh. Like I was a senior in high school and my mom had to pack my lunch for me every day. Like it's low-key embarrassing. And so I'm just like, I'm so much happier now. And I have a dog. Like I have a corgi. He's really cute. I never shut up about him. And I like have found this love for movement. I'm a Pilates instructor. Like I am studying nutrition. I remember when I first came home from treatment, I told my dietitian, I was like, I'm really interested in nutrition. And like, maybe in a few years when I go to college, I could study that. And she was like, no, she was like, that will just trigger you. You will not be able to do that. Like, that's a terrible idea. Well, now I'm doing it. No triggers whatsoever, except for the, I get mad by some of the stuff that mm-hmm. like certain nutrition teachers will teach. I'm like,
eating disorder triggers, just anger triggers.
Yes, just angers. Why are we talking? And I'm able to even like my grandmother, I love her so, so, so much. And she has always really struggled with food. And I don't think she realized she struggled with food until I struggled with food. And honestly, when I first came home from treatment, those conversations we would have would trigger me. But now I have been able to really help. Obviously, I'm not a professional yet. Will be one day, but not yet. But I just have been able to share with her an unbiased opinion on like, this is what this food will actually do for you. And this is probably why you're hungry all the time. Or this is probably why you don't have any energy, or like these kind of things, and been able to share that with her. And that has created such a good, I think like we've always been close, but that like our relationship has just flourished into something that like is completely different because we're a safe space for each other. I've been able to open up to her about some thoughts and things that I've gone through, and she has opened up to me. And that's something I never would have known about my grandparents, you know, but it's been really special because I get to help her. Like I'll go grocery shopping with her and I'll be like, hey, I think you should try something. She had never tried granola in her yogurt before, and she was just eating plain yogurt every day. And I was like, hey, why don't you add some fats and carbs to this meal? And now that's her favorite meal. She talks about it all the time, how she like, oh, I bought that granola today that you taught me about. And it's just been really fun. And we'll go and try different restaurants together, and I'll help her like build balanced meals instead of disordered meals that she used to always lean towards. And that has just been so cool to be able to like help people with that and educate my friends. I recently had a friend talk about how like, yeah, I'm trying to avoid all preservatives that I can. And I was like, okay, like obviously you do you, but I do want to let you know that like not all preservatives are going to ruin you like diet culture teaches us that they're going to. Like sometimes it is a tool that mm-hmm. we like, I'm not saying go and eat your preservatives straight, but I don't even really for real know what preservatives like. I don't know if you can eat them by themselves, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm not saying fill your body with that, but I'm also saying you don't have to be scared of it. Mm-hmm. You can buy the Smucker's jelly. I promise it's okay. Like I promise it's going to be okay. Yeah. Just being able to share that with friends and do that kind of stuff and just kind of break the stigma of like, food is something that should be feared instead of mm-hmm. food is a tool. Food is enjoyment. Food is nourishment. And it is also fun. Like you can create memories around food. We do. Like if you look back into the Bible, they're creating memories around food, you know, like early history, they're using food. Like there's a reason that the saying feast like a king is a thing. Mm-hmm. Like we use food as a tool for nourishment and for health, but also we can use food as enjoyment. We can use food as fun, and it's not something that should be feared. And that's just like the biggest thing that it all ties back into for me is like, I want people to enjoy food and use food as a way to be healthy. But I also want you to stop tying that so much with how you look and like be happy with how you look instead of putting food and body image together in this bubble when in reality, like they're not, you know,
they're two separate things. I mean, like, yes, one does affect the other.
Yeah. But it doesn't have to be this obsession that they affect mm-hmm. each other. You know,
it should just kind of be you eat what you want. You live how you want. I feel like it's such a fine line to try and be like, obviously do it in a way that's still good for yourself. But at the end of the day, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day where they just made like a very passing comment of like, this isn't the healthiest thing I could have for breakfast. And I kind of stopped them and I genuinely just said, I like the rule that if I can live off of this on a deserted island, it's good for me.
Yeah.
If I have a stack of chocolate bars on a deserted island and they're going to keep me alive,
then that works, you know? Right? And so I love that because I kind of live by that same, like, I don't know. Okay. So full disclosure, anybody who has an eating disorder and has been through it knows that most likely, and this is not for everyone, but for a lot of people, you have health issues that follow that. And I am dealing with a lot of issues that were not worth it, by the way. Like, this sucks. And I'm having to, like, it does suck because you do have to, a lot of it does come back to the food you eat, and you have to be careful with some stuff. But I was talking to my doctor yesterday, and she was like, I am not telling you to restrict what you're eating whatsoever. She is like, I really just more so am telling you, like, be mindful about how this food is making you feel. Mm-hmm. And so for me, without getting into details, because I know that can be triggering, but there have been some things I've had to be a little more mindful about, and I'm not cutting them out in any sense, but it's a lot about what do I pair this with to eat it, or what order do I eat these foods in? And so that is something, like, I tell people all the time, I am not telling you to go live off of only chocolate bars unless that is the only way you're going to live. Mm-hmm. If that is how, or like, even if you're on your period and the only thing that is not making you sick right now is Ben and Jerry's ice cream, and that is the only food you can get into your system, girl, go eat the Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Yeah.
You know, like, it is not, it does not have to be this black or white thing. Now, am I saying that for 8 straight months, the only thing you should eat is Ben and Jerry's ice cream if that's not the only thing you can stomach? Probably not, you know, like, that's just not healthy for anyone. Same thing with if I was like, I'm going to only eat broccoli for 6 months. That's not healthy.
No.
You know, like,
that is not a way to sustain your body.
No. And your body really does thrive off of eating a variety of foods and eating all kinds of things, but also finding different things that feel good. Like, I know certain foods don't make me feel good. And some of those are what are quote unquote healthy. Like, there are some foods that, like, I know don't sit right with me. I love oatmeal. I really do. But every time I eat, like, a big bowl of hot oats, I feel so sick the rest of the day. And I don't know what that is, but I just don't eat them every day because I know I don't feel good, but I love them. So I will still have them sometimes. But it's about finding what feels good with your body, you know? And that in recovery is a slippery slope also, because sometimes in recovery, you can't pay attention to what feels good. You just have to eat what you know you have to eat. And I went through that phase for years and years. I just ate what I was told to eat or what I was given or what was accessible. But now I'm at a place that I can start to recognize, like, what feels good and what is nourishing in this moment. What sounds good? If you asked me 2 years ago, I'd be like, I hate donuts. I did not like donuts. Like, and I that wasn't even an eating disorder thing. I didn't like them. Let me tell you right now what my favorite thing is. A good iced donut. I love donuts right now. And that's okay. And I, like, for so long, I would have demonized my brain for that so much. And, like, been like, why am I craving donuts? There's got to be something wrong with me. But, like, no. That's just what I want in this moment. And that's what feels good in this moment. Donuts are a great source of carbs. They are a great energy source. Wonderful pre-workout snack, by the way. If anybody is a gym girly, wonderful pre-workout. Like, they're a quick carb, easy to digest, shouldn't make you sick while you're in the gym, you know? Like, that, your body can process that so quick. And that's, but they're, like,
so demonized.
So demonized. So demonized. When in reality, hate to break it to everyone, it's not that different from, like, some of these granola bars or protein bars that people, well, I guess not necessarily a protein bar, but a lot of these granola bars that are so healthy, donuts aren't that different from it.
It's just the food that we chose to demonize in diet culture.
And realistically, it's like, I was talking to one of my professors about this recently, how in the 90s, eggs were really demonized. they were like, don't eat eggs. They're so bad for you. They'll cause all this stuff. What do we see all over now? This animal-based diet. People are literally, they'll cook like 9 eggs and eat that for breakfast. And so now we've turned from this, like, eggs were so bad. Or even, like, it used to be got milk. Like, do you remember when we were younger? I don't know if you remember this, but I remember this. Every commercial was like, drink milk, drink milk, drink milk. And then it turned into oat milk, almond milk, all these like crazy cashew milk, macadamia milk, like all these crazy milks. Well, now we're back. Everyone's drinking raw milk now, which I'm not going to jump on that train, but you do you. And so like, it's constantly, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier about the trends. Like it's always changed. So how do we know what's actually healthy? Things are demonized. I mean, we're freaking demonizing fruit half the time. If you talk to the keto people, like, what?
Who you talk to, it all depends on what, like, I understand that, you know, we have research and people do research and we discover new things. But at the same time, it's like, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the diet culture of it. Yeah. Where like people are not necessarily following that research, or they just kind of like, we just pick and choose. Like you said, all of a sudden it's, you know, 20, 30 years ago, eggs. Nobody have eggs. And now it's like, hey, eggs are protein. Eggs are this and this. And you should be eating eggs every day. And it's like, okay, so we're going to do the same thing with what, apples next year?
Yeah.
Like, they're so good for you and they're so healthy. And next year it's like, no, they actually could kill you. It's like,
the day we demonize apples, I think I'm out.
Yeah, that's fair.
I love apples. Like I, you know, like, and it's like, I remember, I mentioned earlier, like I grew up in a very like diet culture household and flip-flopping between all the different diets. I was like, I remember being so confused. I was like, last week we were doing keto and we weren't allowed to, I don't know, eat apples, but like now it's gluten-free. And so like apples are the go-to snack. And I'm like, I don't understand where is like what's healthy, you know? And it took me a really long time to relearn what health meant. Like there was a long time when I thought apples were not healthy because of keto, and I was like, now I'm like, oh, apples are my favorite. Like I go through phases where I'll eat like a whole bag of apples in 2 days, you know? Like, and it really just depends on, and also it like one does not fit all. One thing might be healthy for one person, but it might not be healthy for another person.
Right. Yeah. Like you were talking about like oatmeal. Oatmeal might be the healthiest snack for somebody else to have. Yeah. And it's not the best for you. And it could be, it like genuinely could be the same with like what we consider like junk food.
Yeah.
Where chips could be different. Like the healthiest.
It's, if somebody has, if someone's deficient in sodium, potato chips are a great option for them. But like if you have high sodium and your doctor is like, hey, this is really pushing it, like we need to watch this, then it might not be the best option for them, you know?
Right. It like ties into with kind of what we mentioned earlier about, you know, everybody's so unique.
Everyone's
and
so unique.
I keep thinking about what you said of like your superpowers being you. And that goes back to food and body and everything. And it's like, you know, one diet does not fit all. What's good for somebody is not good for another person. Somebody may thrive off of exercising 5-6 times a week. Yep. And somebody else might, maybe they have like arthritis or they have something else.
Yes.
And exercising once a week is as much as they can handle.
Yeah.
And both of ends of those spectrum is completely healthy and completely okay as long as it's what is good for you.
You can even go into that with like types of exercise. Like people will be like, running half marathons. I know for me, that's not healthy for me. I am not a runner. That is not how I feel good. I feel worse after I run. I know that is not my form of movement, but like I mentioned that I'm becoming a Pilates instructor. Like I love Pilates. I love yoga. I love bar classes. I love dance. I still do ballet to this day. Like that's what feels good to me. But some people like, I don't know, other random things. Some people, I mean, kayaking. I know somebody who sailing and kayaking is their form of movement. That's so cool. You know, like everybody, that is not like, it is not a one size fits all. And I think that really, isn't it cool that you're you? Like,
yeah,
it all goes back into everybody is so different. We were not made to be the same people. If you look at animals, even animals aren't the same. Like we were not made to be all this same person and all look the same and all do the same things. It's just not how it works.
If that's everybody was made to be everybody, one, it would be a pretty boring world.
Yeah.
But we would not be able to sustain living. Because if exactly. everybody was born the exact same way and everybody was born to be an electrician, we're going to have all these light bulbs and all of these things, but we're not going to have farmers. We're not going to have people.
Or even if we all ate the same food, we'd run out of food.
Yeah.
That's 7.8 billion, I think, is what the population is at now. 7.8 billion people eating eggs and apples. Well, we're out of eggs and apples, you know? Like,
that's why. And we have all of these, like, pears and all of these chocolate bars, but nobody's going to eat them.
Nobody's going to eat them. Then we run into a whole different issue of all this, like, everything's going to waste and everything's rotting. And like, there's a reason that we're all different. And like, I think that's that is one thing. Like I mentioned, I'm in the recovery space on social media and in this community. And that is something that gets really, really toxic is the comparison in these, I say influencers in big quotes, because I saw a thing the other day, though, that said, like, if you have a social media following and you know that you could have influence on people, that does make you an influencer. And so you do have to be careful about what you're posting. And that's a big thing. I even have friends that will comment on my recipes and stuff and be like, oh, like, I wish I ate like you and stuff. And I'm like, that is not what this is supposed to look like. And I don't think you should be in the recovery space if that's what you're thinking. I think you should get off social media if that's the case, because that's how it gets dangerous. Is like a lot of people with disordered eating are comparing themselves to other what I eat in a day and all this kind of stuff. And that's why I'm so against what I eat in a day, is because we are not going to eat the same. Some people have a sweet tooth. Some people like savory stuff. Some people like a big breakfast and a like more mid-sized dinner. Some people like to eat full three meals a day. Some people like to snack throughout the day, like a lot of snacks, you know, like we're all going to be different and we cannot compare to each other because my metabolism is different than yours. I could eat or somebody could eat less than me, but like be completely healthy. And I eat like a lot of food, like, and I am in a healthy body, you know, like that's okay. And we cannot compare to each other because that is just going to create that. I want to be like her. I want to be like him mentality that we were talking about earlier. And it's just not healthy.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And that's why I love what you're doing with the book. I just love it. I don't know. I keep thinking about it. And I'm like, because that's the exact message that you're kind of – I mean, obviously in a very simplified way, we got pretty deep into it. But
yeah.
it's like at the end of the day, everybody's different and everybody's going to live different. And what's like one person's sustainable life is maybe not what your sustainable life looks like.
Exactly.
And there's also so many factors. Like you mentioned, metabolism, activity level, genetics, like there's things you can't control that affect how you should be living your life in a healthy body.
100%. One thing about me is I can yap.
I love it. That's what that's what this podcast is for, is just yap away. I will say, I feel like we've kind of reached the end.
Yes, I know. I don't want to be dragging on for anyone. So
I do end my episodes with letting my guests give my listeners an affirmation.
Yes.
So if you have one prepared.
I do. Okay. So I mentioned earlier that like growth is kind of like my big thing. I really like prioritize growth. So my affirmation is centered around growth. But I said, my affirmation is recognize the progress that you have made and look forward to the progress you will make. You are growing every day. Don't take that for granted. So that's my favorite. I keep that on my screensaver and I look at that a lot because I think it's not only about where you've been, it's about where you are and where you're going. So,
It's amazing. And like, I'm going to keep that in mind too, because like, just grow. Like,
yes.
Growth is amazing and we're constantly doing it. And you've grown so much and you're currently growing and you have so much growth left.
Exactly. Yep.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. This was so fun and really was.
Where can people find you? Where can they find your book?
Yes. So for me, it's Growth Sarah Claire on everything. So that's just Sarah with an H, Growth Sarah Claire, no spaces or anything. That's TikTok, Instagram, and oddly YouTube, but I haven't posted on there in like a year. I really want to start doing that again, but haven't. And then I also have a podcast, but I haven't also really fallen off that with college. College is not easy, I will say that. So I've been very busy, but that's kind of making a revamp soon. So, but you can find all that on my Instagram. And then to get the book, that is also, there's a link in my Instagram bio. And I'm looking into getting it on Amazon. We're going to kind of see how that goes. Recently, somebody set me up with some people I could talk to about that. So I'm looking into that. But as of right now, it is on my, link tree in my bio on my Instagram. So
good luck with the Amazon. And I cannot wait for the day that it pops up on my Instagram that that book is on Amazon.
Yes.
And I urge everybody listening to go check you out on some form of platform. Go look at that book. Like if you have kids, you don't even have to have kids. Buy it for yourself as yes. an adult. Like you have adult money, you have free will. Do it.
Do it.
And thank you so much again for joining
me.
Of course. Thank you to everybody who tuned in to listen. And I really hope that you check Sarah Claire out and you kind of take something from this, from our yapping and all these things. And I will see you all again later. Have a wonderful day.